Blog Talk Radio.
What up? Good morning, friend. What's the word? How y'all doing? Look, this is the 27th of June. It's the last Saturday in the month of June. The year is almost officially over. And for a number of reasons, it feels like it just damn started. However, that is not the case. We are actually in the midst of almost bringing this thing to completion. And how better apt to say how I feel, how we feel, most of us feel about 2020 than to give the title of the show today, FU 2020. There's a lot of bullshit going on in this year already, and it does not seem to want to stop or look to slow down any damn sooner. But these are the times in which we live, and that is what the hell's going on. Good morning, Sister Rashi. What's going on? What's the word?
Listen, I was like, I'm down with a plague, okay? And then I'm down with locusts. With
right.
Locusts, fire, plague, and, you know, it's like, What was that in the Bible when they started sending all the locusts and stuff and the rain didn't stop and all
that's right. That's right.
We put
area.
Some stuff,
you know, I'm a heathen.
Look, I'm even adding some stuff to that. Like, we got, but honestly, the worst that's going on, because we've been having, this country been set on fire. This country catch fire every year. And plagues have been with man since we hit a billion. What's bothering me these days, brother, what we may need to talk about in the future is the fall of man's camaraderie with each other, the breakdown of social fabric. Even what we had is gone. You know, people are wilding out in a way now that's surprising even me. And I thought I had seen just about everything from humankind. But there's some behavior that's going down now that I was like, what? It's going to make us unable, if the behavior continues, Even after the plague is gone, even after the fires die out, even after the economy semi-recovers, the mindset of the people is so wilding out, you know, that I'm wondering if we're going to revert back. We're going to have to hit the, like, whatever button they hit back in the pioneer days when they had the Wild Wild West, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had to do something. They had to do something because people was just shooting at the party, you know. So we're going to have to do, yeah, we're going to have to do something like what they did back in the pioneer days in order to get us wherever we were, you know, wherever we just came from socially. We're going to have to do something, public healing. We're going to have to maybe incorporate a holiday where we say, hey, not just don't care for your mama, don't just care for your kids, don't just care for grandma. Let's have random stranger, care and love for a random stranger day holiday. You understand? You know what I'm saying? We're going to have to combat. We're going to have to do something to combat the amount of man-on-man, brother-to-brother hatred that I've seen crop up over, you know. I understand white-on-black hatred, and I even somewhat understand, I understand black-on-white hatred, you know, from historically. And I even somewhat understand white-on-black hatred, but at this point, we don't even look, we're not even for real looking to see the color of the individual. We doing some heinous acts to each other because I guess we feel like ain't nobody watching no more or, there's so much other stuff going on, you'll never get caught. What would you attribute to the erosion of the fabric of moral, you know, society?
Money. It's money and in my humbled opinion, the feeling that the desire to not want to be left out. You know, you have especially with these young folks, and this is what makes them so damn stupid. Now, all of us are stupid when we were young, but we all took it to a different level. But these motherfuckers posting everything. They are literally showing their stupidity for the masses and for all time. They're putting everything out on themselves for anybody to see and be like, oh, you do this. Like the young boy who stole the money from his job. But then he went on TikTok or Instagram, one of them damn things, put the damn money behind it. He's flashing the money. Yo, we ain't that dumb. We weren't that dumb. Were we that dumb? I mean, seriously, were we really that dumb?
We had spread a lot of disease. We was pretty dumb. We were dumb enough
to shame each other.
We were spreading. We pretty dumb.
Okay, got you. But were we dumb enough to put our business in the street, especially when we didn't rob somebody? So you didn't rob somebody. And then you put yourself in front of a camera saying, yeah, yo, I robbed this motherfucker. Were we that dumb? I don't think we were that dumb. We were dumb. We weren't that damn dumb. These kids are a special kind of stupid.
They eat Tide Pods.
They on some old other stuff for real. And it's ridiculous. We don't have a full show in the sense of the normal where we have everything segmented and we have a guest on and so on and so forth. We don't have that. No. Let me tell you, I'm working off 1.5 hours of sleep. Not even gonna lie. I ain't punching drunk. I'm not, thank God, because the hour and a half nap worked out fine. But what we really wanted to get into this week, I'm waiting for my cousin to call in too, but Brother Barry's on, so I want to bring him up. But what we really wanted to get into this week What we really wanted to get into this week is to continue the discussion that we've been having about the push for social equality. Brother Barry, good morning. What's going on, fam?
man, brother. I thought my man Rodney Smith was gonna be on, so I figured, you know, get
oh,
us all three.
He is.
He oh, what's up,
he
Rodney?
He's somewhere going on right here. He's sending out invites and all that type jazz. He got about 27 other people up on here. My boy is full like a mug. I love it. Thank you all for joining, family. But he gonna come. He was talking to me. Now he broke some news at the very beginning of the show last week. I'm trying to break some news with my cousin this week because my cousin hit me up about something that's going on out in California. So, again, waiting on him to come on. But glad to have you, family. But you're still on ground zero. What's going on in Minnesota? No,
it's not ground zero. Let me tell y'all something about this pseudo-revolutionary revolution that's going on.
No for
we been hustled, we been bamboozled, we been hoodwinked. I'm not talking about.
We didn't fall on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock fell on us.
Bro, let me tell you something. We had a situation here about 4 years ago with a brother named Jamar Clark. It was a lot of social unrest. They occupied in front of a police station, and it went on for weeks. An artist group and. You know, they planned to, if this ever happened in Minneapolis again, what they were going to do and how they were going to use it. And they seized the moment. They were the ones. And every day we're getting somebody else being arrested for burning these businesses. And every day it's somebody white. Every day we're seeing a new charge from someone who ran into the police station. And every day those people are white. They were the ones that were burning the businesses in the black community. And the crazy part about it was they were teaming up with some of the leadership of the NAACP inside of Minneapolis. This is a crazy situation that's happening on the ground here. So I wouldn't call it ground zero. And I wanted to get to your point about why are as foolish as it just sounds what I said about them teaming up with, leadership of the NAACP here in Minneapolis. It's because people are chasing dopamine. Back in our time, people chased money. And you know, when you chased money, you really didn't want people to know you had money, right? Like, people who really wanted money didn't want folks to know they had money. So they wouldn't necessarily.
Yeah, because they didn't want to get knocked over the head.
Exactly. So that's why, you know, if you're not chasing that dopamine high or that effect, then you wouldn't be posting the money that you stole or even the money that you earned. But since we live in the age of social media where everybody are dopamine addicts, and if you don't know what that is out there, look it up. And this is, you know, I will tell you listeners to look it up. And this is why they have all of the notifications being sent to your phone consistently. And I bet some of you guys have even felt that buzz on your phone and you look down, it wasn't nothing there. It was just to make sure, as like a junkie, they gave you your bump for the day. So, you know, this is a very dangerous time because in our era, Lee, you know, people were crack addicts, right? And if you're a crack addict, you know, you can go ahead and go to the you go to rehab and get yourself rehabilitated. But if you're a dopamine addict and all you do is chase the thrill or chase the attention, where's your rehab at? How do you get rehabilitated? And I think that it is a serious problem that we don't talk about in our community. I'm telling you, the protests arrested in posing for photos than they were the issues. And you know, after this stuff has played off, people have gone back to their normal lives. So I wouldn't say we're ground zero. I mean, I think if people wanted to really watch what's going on as far as protests, what's being not showed on television is what's going on in Seattle. That's the hotbed. And ironically, that's the place where all the tech giants are. They're very liberal, but Seattle's been popping right now.
I want to give Rodney an opportunity to ask a question because both he and I had the same question. Rodney, good morning. What's going on, fam?
Good morning, brothers. How is everybody doing today?
And sister.
My mustache got so thick, y'all. Gonna call me brother because I've been stressing the answers. It's curling up like a handlebar. So brothers are.
Oh man.
But does the carpet match the drapes? This is the question.
That's right. Everybody looking like Frederick Douglass. Here's the deal, though. We get a lot of information. You're right, Rodney. How do we know that the information being shared is the truth? And how are we validating information in when it's happening? Ping, 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 ping. Just like he said, if you're getting notifications to hit your dopamine high, you are not then going back to check to see if it's factual information. You taking all that information as it is. What are we using to determine fact from fiction?
Great question.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. I need Rodney to ask his question, and then we'll go into to your question, Rodney, because Rodney and I both, again, had a very powerful and valid question. Go ahead, Rodney. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I wanted to know, Brother Barry, that's some powerful words right there, and I appreciate the insight, especially on what's happening with the people being arrested and who they actually turn out to be, because that's the same way it is here in Vegas. But you mentioned that the NAACP was collaborating with provocateurs or provocateurs at in the lease. What proof is there? Emails? Are you? How do you know it's that the NAACP organization?
I can send you the photos. I can send you brothers the photos of a ragtag group of brothers that was organized by the president of the NAACP, where they were supposed to be patrolling North Minneapolis after the riot started. Now keep this in mind, brothers. It's North Minneapolis, it's South Minneapolis, and it's St. Paul, right? I was with the group occupying St. Paul, some brothers who were armed. We were all armed, and we were patrolling the streets, making sure that none of the black businesses were being burnt down or any black people were being targeted. Same thing was happening with another group of brothers in South Minneapolis. The only place that black folks were constantly being targeted at and being shot at, and even businesses still burning, was North Minneapolis. Why? Because the NAACP president had dealt with some white men from Antifa. These men were from Indiana, North Carolina, Buffalo, New York, all over the country. I could send you guys the pictures with these white boys in the pickup trucks and the AR-15s. And the crazy part about it was that same red pickup truck, people were complaining, black folks were complaining about being chased by white boys and even being shot at. Right? They had sisters who were almost abducted by another group of white boys who were also from out of town. So this was all at play. Now, they thought that those white boys were friends. They thought that, I don't know how they could have thought that, but they thought they were friends, right? But they didn't check with people who know. And this is the problem in our community, and it goes back to the sister's point about false information and how do you know. Typically, you lean on your elders, and typically you verify with people who are in that line of work. I was dealing with some people who were in that line of work, so we knew who was who, what was what, and what to look for. They did not do that. So in the process, they put the black community in harm's way. And we lost several more businesses and several more important places like grocery stores as well as gas stations and pharmacies because of that.
Okay, so as far as the association with Antifa,
there's usually
a lot of allegations that go around about Antifa and or anarchists involved in violent protests, especially with black people, which is one of the reasons why the person that's acting as president in the White House put out that terrorist executive order against Antifa. But I know here in Vegas,
you don't get that, Brother Brady.
Different other places. You know, here in Vegas, what we found out is that it actually was not Antifa, that it was provocateurs from white supremacist organizations that wore the garb of Antifa. As a matter of fact, all
confused.
Of the arrests has so far not
Antifa
been
Antifa is not a white
Antifa.
Supremacist hate group. Antifa is not white nationalist hate group. Why are we separating them from the white nationalist hate groups again?
If the hood is burning and we got white folks in it, the white folks need to go. I don't know why black folks are so trusting of white people. I'm just sorry. I just don't get it. But I can show you the white boys that had the guns and everything else. They could be Antifa, Ku Klux Klan, what have you. They didn't know who they were dealing with. And the fact of the matter is, it seems like across the country, most of the black folks who call themselves leadership don't really check into the streets. And they would rather deal with white folks with guns than the black folks inside their own community with guns.
So I'm with you on that. As a matter of fact, when especially when our younger folks here put together protests, I have warned them about infiltration from provocateurs of any other group. But I'm just going to what the findings have been. And I do believe that it is important to delineate between Antifa, which is something that's really made up sort of as the way that we normally present it, and other provocateurs. Because what we do know from the government's own records, from their own records, is that oftentimes Antifa is blamed for actions that Antifa has had actually no part in. And when it's actually all said and done, they are white supremacists, non-Antifa, and I am talking about the Klan. I am talking about the Posse Comitatus, Covenant in the Sword, the Arm in the Lord, the Boogaloo Boys, the Three Percenters, and the list goes on. And it is important hold on, let me just make this point. The reason why this is so important is because we should not automatically assume that all white people are against us, because there are some white people who are definitely in our corner. Now, you have to do your due diligence to find out who they are, but it is a part of the plan of the guy that's acting at 1600 Black Lives Plaza or Black Lives Place. It is his plan to divide those who may be true abolitionists and black people up, so that there will be infighting between the two and that we're not able to come together. So there are provocateurs, but let's not fall for the old banana and the tailpipe and the okie doke to paint a broad brush and to say that all white people are against us, because if we do that, there's some valuable allyship that we will need for the resistance that will be a barrier, and it will be a hindrance to us achieving our ultimate goal.
So know who's on your team as best you
yes.
can before you
yes,
agree
definitely.
To do the mission together. Because I don't really think that's not organically how it works. Usually the mission rallies its own soldiers, and you look up in the battle and you find out who you in the battle with when you look left to right. But folks rarely gather their troops and then hit the mission. So is there a way you would help us figure out who is fighting with you while you're fighting? Because the reconnaissance work on who is a soldier and isn't takes so long, you'll be to forgot what the hell you're fighting for.
Well,
I
know in the case here that the black male leadership here was not invited to that party. And let me just state this again. Whether it was Antifa or not, right, I just come from an area when you don't know who's who. You put your back against the wall and you see everybody. You don't take people coming in from out of state saying that they're coming in to deal with your problem here. I can't, especially when we're talking Buffalo, New York, Indiana, Iowa, Wyoming, we're seeing white boys that are typically, we know, probably would have, Confederate flags or Klan hoods hanging in their closet from these places. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we would be so trusted. And the problem with us is the first thing that we need as far as allyship is we need each other. So if we're not seeking each other out first, then whatever the allyship we're talking about, we're just setting ourselves back up to be back up under somebody else's boot. So when I see what was going on around the country, and I know, you know, like I always say about Brother George Floyd, rest in peace, is that Brother George mm-hmm. Floyd couldn't get most of the people that went out there to his site to talk to him if he was alive. We have that issue inside
That's
of our
truth.
Society. And we
That's
cannot be having people, we can't be having, especially black men, because black men really haven't been really speaking up. Black men
Honestly,
have to talk.
Most of the black men who've been killed, people wouldn't have been flocking around Eric Gardner. He was a black
exactly.
man standing on a corner selling loose cigarettes. Didn't nobody
exactly.
have nothing to say to him when he was alive? And wouldn't nobody have nothing to say to that dude who was sitting in the car high off PCP? He wasn't bothering nobody. Of course, he died for no reason. But wasn't nobody rushing up to that car to hit his wet stick? these men, these people that, you know, and that's why they're trying to pump Breonna Taylor so hard, not only because she's a prominent female case of, and we almost never hear about what's happening to black women in this country as far as the police is concerned, but when we don't, this is Candace Owens' argument. Why are y'all rallying for people who y'all wouldn't even give change to if they walked up to your car? Now you ready to burn a country down for somebody who, if they asked you for some loose change, you would have said, nigga, get your ass out of my face.
Hold on, y'all. Roshan. Please understand that you are in total violation. You do not say that name around here. You do not say that. We say CO. We say that one, little one over there. It's all kinds of things we say. We do not say that name out in public. We do not say that. That is a bad
thing. You
have been warned.
Little Condoleezza.
I don't even. Mm-hmm. You leave that lady alone, because if you can't hear her argument,
that's exactly what I plan on doing.
You can't hear white America's argument if you can't hear her argument. If you can't hear her point of view, then it's a whole bunch of point of views you're going to be deaf to, because she's an echo chamber for her Republican cohort. She's doing the Michael Steele work. She's doing the Don Lemon's work. She's doing her job. Y'all better
No. Back off of that. Because I will argue that, just like I will argue for was not that lost in the sauce. Michael Steele, though he was and still is a Republican, also understood balance, and he fought and championed for that balance. Hence the reason that he stepped away from the Republican Party as the lead, and, you know, sat off and did his own thing.
That's why
Exactly. And that's exactly why they didn't pick him, because they knew that he was looking for a more balance approach to everything. Now, he commonly came on radio here locally every week. I think it was on Wednesday. Every week, Wednesday morning, faithfully, and took every question from anybody that called and asked. Stood his ground, gave explanation, dropped some jewels. Some people didn't like. You know, there are a lot of things that we reject just because we don't like the answer, but that doesn't mean that the answer was wrong, and that doesn't mean that that's
okay,
not the appropriate answer.
Okay, now that explanation boil over to my girl CO? Why can't Candy get her perspective? She's doing the same
you
thing
why?
Mike did, throwing,
no,
she's
not, she's, no, she's not going for balance at all. She's going to tip in the scale. And that therein lies the difference. She's not going for balance. There's never been a time when she's come out and said, there's never been a time that I'm aware of that she's come out and said, this was wrong, and there's no justification to that, no matter what. But she's come out and she's hit bullet point and talking point, just like the district attorney is going to come behind her or did in front of her. Well, this is a criminal. This person was on drugs at some point in their life. This person, who gives a shit? I'm walking down the street, like the young man in Georgia that was, where was he at? CVS, Walgreens, whatever, waiting for the MoneyGram?
Mm-hmm.
Western Union. I don't care what that brother's background was. He was doing nothing but walking down the street, waiting on Western Union. Are you kidding me right now? Who cares? I don't care. It doesn't matter. There was nothing. You cannot suppose anything from his background in that moment to say this is why you treated this cat this way. Nothing. Yeah, no, that's why we don't talk about her. No, no, we ain't doing that. We're not doing that.
Well, I mean, look, we can talk about her, but like in the abstract.
Well, so, I mean, so what I like you said, the balance, right? And can't nobody be all good or all bad.
Right.
You have to agree that the woman has said at least something true. And in this point, you ain't supposed to be taking 100% of nothing anybody says as fact. So, at this point, you just being mean to her because you don't like how she styled her hair down the middle and how big her eyeballs is. And you need to just realize you never going to get none of that and keep chasing Fantasia's shadow and leave the lady alone. Boom. Boom.
Oh,
how about
man.
That? Bloop. Bloop.
Oh, man. Hey, you know what? No, I what I was saying was we as a people, I wasn't trying to really go from Candace's point. I'm saying we as a people, we don't value each other. And what I have a problem with, Brother Rodney Lee and sister, is that I have an issue when we got people yelling Black Lives Matter when a brother is dead. However, when that brother is alive, they're targeting men like him. They're targeting heterosexual masculine men. So I have an issue with that. People raising money off the back of the death. It's been $30 million has been sent into Minneapolis from groups since his death. That money is not going into political awareness to change policies in the African-American community. That's coming in to help the LGBTQ community. So you got to understand, it's a lot of complexities that are taking place, I know at least here. I can't speak
That's
for other
people. Because a lot of them people, they said, brother, they setting trans people on fire. Come on now. They should.
But
listen, a lot of them people, see, y'all don't count them, but a lot of those names that we calling off are homosexual, trans, black people. We just don't do the Mike Brown on them because we don't feel like pumping up no dead gay dude.
Well, I would say this. Anybody who's being set on fire, black, white, what have you, if you're targeting people and that's happening, that's a crime, that's wrong, we shouldn't be standing for it, right? So I'm not saying that they shouldn't get their focus if something is being done. But we're waking up every morning or every other morning to a black man being hung from a tree, mostly outside of courthouses, ironically, around the country. No one is going back even given that. That should be more of a concern since the death of George Floyd. That's something that we have to bring up. They keep on having us talk about cases in the past. Meanwhile, there's current cases that's happening right now that we're not talking about. And to Brother Rodney's point about what was put online, false versus truth, in my opinion, if we are seeing men currently dying, it shouldn't have to be on video for us to be appalled. We shouldn't have to see a video to notice that if black men are being found hanging from trees inside of California all the way to New Jersey and down south, we should understand that that's a coordinated attack. And as black people, we should be asking ourselves, what are we not paying attention to, right? Because when you keep on having us chase what someone's already killed somebody in the past, what's going on right now that we're missing? And that's the thing that I have an issue with. It's not really about these other groups. It's about how do we see each other, how do we value each other? Because when we change that, then we can be able to take on these other groups.
Well, I can tell you this, brother. We taking them on online. We being, not me personally, but there is a faction of people online. I just look. I'm a looky-loo. But there's a faction of people online, brother, who if you say, dang, her lips is big, the next day you are fired, okay? These people have taken it while they home getting their stimulus money. They said, ooh, what am I going to do? They go on the internet and find words that people, white people that they don't like, and they do a deep dive into their whole everything. And they go and email their jobs. They email their families. And what kind of person are you to be with a racist like this? And they talk. They email their grandchildren and say, go get grandpa. And they keep a media storm until they make that person come back on the internet and say, did I say I was a racist? I was a theracist. They make them reconfigure the whole damn thing on video or else. I think they say, I'm taking you out the wheel. Or I don't know what they do to these people, but they make them come back online where they drop their little nuggets of shit, and they come back and say, oops, sorry about that. I may still feel like that on the inside, but in order for me to ever work again or find a mate or get my kids to come back home, I need to say that I apologize from the bottom of my heart for saying how big her lips was. They're beautiful, they're voluptuous, and I'm going to go get my lips done just like that on Monday. And now, That's what we get to do.
Speaking directly to that, and I was really hoping my cousin was going to join, but I'll share it. So in California, parents are calling for the removal of Tracy is a city in California. Tracy superintendent who posted threats to protesters. Now, this gets very murky because it could be a situation where Juicy got him crazy, or it really could be that, you know, he just really drank the orange Kool-Aid. But the wife of this superintendent posted so rioters, you say country boys are next. You do realize country boys will sit 30 feet up a tree all day just to kill something. And then the husband responded with a drawing of a guy, caricature, with a machine gun that's just shooting. And his caption is, "It's what we've been preparing for." Then a response to that was, "Those rioters are going to get it." And then it just goes on and on and on. I mean, it just gets worse. Someone else jumps in. And in the country, we fight for fun and learn how to take one or give one at a young age. Then the wife comes back, responding to that, and we're fed up with all this nonsense. Not that we need a reason, but it gives us extra superhuman strength. Then the responder responds back, no doubt, fired up. So then someone chimes in that was anti. I said, you know, and if you are mad about them protesting about change for our people, you are part of the problem, which the wife comes back. Our school is a school of choice, and your children do not have to go there. They are more than welcome to go to their home district. You are also free to unfriend me as well. Please do. To which the lady says, yes, it is. And believe me, they won't be going. She didn't exactly write that. You know, autocorrect gets us and spell check and shit. This post is very disrespectful. And for you guys to be in a position that you guys are in, this should have never come out of your mouth. Then she takes it and forwards it out and says, yeah, this is the people in charge of our children's education. The superintendent laughed at my daughter's hair for going natural. The bus driver did not respond correctly to my son having an asthma attack on the bus. He was told to sit down and shut up before waiting several, blah, blah, blah. Then they post the salary of this cat. Now, you talking about coming up on a come up. So the salary listed for this cat, the superintendent, starting in 2014, he was making $5,600 as regular pay because he was just coming in to lecture. Then he got the superintendent position and went to $169,000 roughly, then $177,000, $181,500. Stayed there for 2 years, and then he bumped up to almost $200,000. And that started in 2014, up into 2018. So God only knows how much money he's making right now. Yeah, so, yeah, you talking about this is ridiculous. And, again, my cousin is a teacher out there, so I really wanted him to break the story more so than I. However, seems like he got caught up some damn way doing something. You know what I'm saying? And that's okay.
Brother Lee, he's one of many high-ranking officials that then accidentally pulled that hood back too far and showed up to their eyebrows. And you
really
and we all looking around. And so you made a post the other day. You we up here tripping on cops, but it's teachers, the superintendent, it's HR, it's nurses and doctors. The lawyers and judges and these people are they in every facet of society that we supposed to be able to use on the government dime. No, not I'm paying to be around you. This is what the government has provided me as a citizen of this country.
Ooh,
you.
Say that. Ooh, say that. I mean, listen, I think that a lot of people who are appalled got they, to quote Paul Mooney, they Negro wake-up call. I think a lot of us have fell for the illusion of inclusion. I'm not shocked to hear that from a school superintendent in California. You know, I think California is one of the most racist places on the earth, even though they say that they're liberal. They're very racist. You know, and, you know, the crazy part about what those families had to deal with is they've already had an impact on some black or brown's child life already. They've probably already damaged those children for life before this came out, right? This is just proof and confirmation that of why we ought to do for ourselves, as Brother Rodney will point back to, why do we deal with them in the first place? Why aren't we taking this up and doing for ourselves? And this is more the, you know, this is why I keep calling the coronavirus the exposure virus, because everything that's happening during this time has exposed us to the true dealings of our reality versus how other folks see us and how other folks are treating us. We're starting.
I want
to
put a pin. I want to put a pin in that thought for a second, because, you know, my ass was a little bit fast and my cousin did actually join us, so I want to get to him pretty in a high second. What's going on, fam? What's going on, cuz? But I also want to acknowledge, and I want to come back to this after cuz get in and say what he needs to say. I want to get to the fact that, you know, there are still two Americas, and we need to get rid of that. You know what I'm saying? But what's up, JV? What's going on, family? I get pumped when I talk to my family. You know what I'm saying? He up early too for me. Like, yeah, that's what's up. What's going on, fam?
Oh man, just over here, just getting ready for this immersion meeting. But I had some time with you guys to get on here and talk about this situation going on here in Tracy, California, with this racist superintendent.
Yes, so
you know,
I read the article because I thought you got caught up. So I already went on and read the article. But if you can give us any, you know, direct observations, did you see this coming? I mean, has this cat always been suspect, or?
No, because that particular charter school has been recruiting a lot of our African-American kids over there. So it was kind of shocking to see that their superintendent had those kinds of views, you know, but sometimes these charter schools in different places, they're using our kids just to get money. You know, they say it's a school of choice and they trick us into putting our kids in their school, but then the lead of the school, you know, straight racist rhetoric. So we just have to be careful and choose where we put our kids, you know, real carefully and pay attention and look at who the leadership is in these places and really do some investigation, because him and his wife are, you know, really racist.
So you said they've been recruiting our kids. You know that's what the football and basketball program. Come on, kids. Come on, guys.
Right.
Come on, cuz. You know what that's about. They trying to win a couple championships so, you know, he can add a couple trophies and talk all that trash about what he did. But, okay, so out of the blue, this thing dropped. It blows up. Did it make the local news, or is this right now at this point still a internet thing where it hasn't blown over to that level yet?
Now, it's already been on the Fox local news here, and a few other channels are starting to pick it up. So, yeah, it's already made the TV news, and it's in all the different newspapers already as of yesterday.
Oh, wow.
All the newspaper,
you think
all the main newspapers out this way are publicizing it.
You think he's going to go, or you think he's going to hold firm?
Well, you know, I'm a former school board member, so I know how a lot of this stuff works with these superintendents. So they superintendents all have a 3-year contract. A lot of people don't know that. So if you fire them, you still got to pay them out their 3 years. And this guy's making about $300,000 a year, including his benefits. So he's not gonna quit, because then they only gonna pay him out through his contract right now. So what he's gonna do is wait, and he's gonna get fired because it's too much. He's getting too much attention. There's too many people that are angry about what he did, white and black and Latinos, just so many people that knows what he did is wrong. So he hasn't even seen the backlash yet of how people are going to show up to that school board meeting. But then the board is going to be forced to fire him, and then they're going to have to pay him out for 3 years. So I know that that's what he's trying to wait out, you know. So if he has good advice, he will resign, but I don't think he's going to do that.
So he going to try to fight. He says that shit. Now, I'm stuck on that point because yesterday I'm talking to my man Randy, and Randy was saying, you know, it's interesting to me how you see these folks operate. And certain folks, they always change in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, they come at you like, yo, you ain't shit if you ain't got your money right. So then you sacrifice, you put a plan together, you get your money right, you come back to the table like, oh, no, money ain't good here no more. Now you need credit. So you go out here, you figure out how to negotiate credit and better terms for yourself, blah, blah, blah. Hey, by the way, I paid off a credit card yesterday. You know what I'm saying? That's a great-ass feeling. So you come back to the table, like, cash is right in your credit right. It's like, oh, no, we don't take cash credit no more. You ain't shit if you ain't got no land. You know what I'm saying? Like, hold on, dog. Like, when is the game ever going to be the damn same? Why every time I come back to the table fully prepared off of the rules that you gave me, you fucking change the rules? That's that bullshit, but that is the thing that black folks go through in America daily.
Daily. Yeah, and you know what? They've been playing that game with us since slavery and since right after slavery when they had us as sharecroppers. And they would have us work in the fields as slaves. And then when it came time to pay us, they were like, oh, well, you owe us for this. You owe us because you use these tools. You owe us back for this.
For shelter.
That way they would always keep
us. You owe
us
for shelter.
Yeah.
For the shelter,
yeah,
the shelter that you were in when you were a slave. Ain't that some bullshit?
Right. Right. So they would never have to pay us. And they still doing it the same way, you know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we ready to get our reparations. And I know some black people that's been on it, and I'm definitely on it. And you know, we have a good case. It's just with us as black people, we have to be unified and have one voice, saying that our ancestors earned this, we deserve it, and we coming to get it. But we have to all say
that's never
going to
happen. That's never going to happen. No. I'm not talking about reparations. I believe reparations will eventually happen in some way, shape, or form. I'm talking about the homogeneous voice because of people like, you know, that other one that Rashi said and that was out of bounds about earlier today. Yeah, we don't say her name. See, it's because of people like that. It's because, you know, the Condi Rices and little the new little Condi that we will never have a homogeneous voice. You know, even to an extent, and I love him dearly. So, you know, y'all can jump down my throat if you want to. But Obama. You know, Obama was a pessimist. He was a pacifier. He was definitely a pacifier. He had ample opportunity, especially at the end of his presidency. The best fucking thing that kid could have done at the end of his presidency was stand up and say that slavery was wrong. That's all he had to say. He didn't have to say anything else. He could have said those few words, dropped the mic, and walked away. He didn't have to go down the rabbit hole about how to fix it. Nothing. He could have taken the Eisenhower approach, made a last minute speech, and rolled out. Dropped mic and gone. You know, but he bitched up. He bitched up and he rolled out without doing or saying much. That's a problem. But he was in a very fucked up and unique situation. Whenever you're the first, you're in the worst position ever. You know what I'm saying? And while I disagree with his stance, I understand it. I understand that he wanted to leave a crack in the door, if nothing more, for somebody else that looks like him to come and do it again. He ran the risk of stepping up, to closing the door forever, and that never happened again. Go ahead, fam. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hey, fam. I agree with you 100% on Obama. You know, he could have done a lot more, and he was a pacifist. And this is what I say. This is why I don't let him off the hook. So you mean to tell me you can pass Obamacare, but you can't pass Juneteenth? Where's the priority? You know, if you can pass Obamacare, you damn sure could have passed making Juneteenth a national holiday.
Well, forget about that.
If that was a priority. If it was a priority.
Forget about that. Let's not even talk about that. Rodney, I want to bring you back in. Something as simple as guaranteeing that we as black folks have the right to vote without it having to come up for committee approval every, how often, Rodney, is it 3 years or whatever? However often the shit comes up. I can't even remember off the top of my head right now. I told y'all I'm working off an hour and a half of sleep. Don't judge me right now. So just doing something as simple as that. Go ahead, Ryan.
So I want to put things in perspective, Lee, because I think, first of all, when we start talking about our own, it takes us away from the target that's actually downrange. And when we're so focused on attacking our own, that target that was downrange is a little bit closer, and their accuracy pulling the trigger is a lot better. So regardless of what President Obama could have done, and it's always easy to talk about what more someone could have done, but we don't talk enough about what he did do. And when you talk about passing the Affordable Care Act, right, and we cast it off in a shirt shift like we just did, I just think that that's disrespectful on our part on a major accomplishment that no Republican, no Democrat, who at some point or the other, both of them champion universal health care one way or the other, from Nixon to Johnson, Eisenhower, all of them, right? It was a huge accomplishment. No, it wasn't targeted just to black people, but you bet it did hit a lot of black people. So to say that if you just want to talk about what a brother didn't do, you could probably spend all day talking about what I haven't done. And I just think that that takes us down the wrong path. Let's celebrate that, just like Lee said, he was the first person, and I've been in those first-person positions. It is extremely tough to get anything done, especially to get something done specifically for your people, because there's so many blocks that's thrown up. So he got a major accomplishment done that we should actually celebrate him doing, instead of deride that he didn't do this, that, or the other thing. I love Juneteenth. I put Juneteenth committees together since I was in Korea when I was a staff sergeant at E5. So it's not new to me, and that's something that we could do on our own, and that is being done. But some of these other things that President Obama did, I never hear anybody talk about the prison reform that President Obama did. I hear people say about the prison reform that he didn't do, and that is a banana in the tailpipe that just causes our engine to blow up. So I just,
well, Kwame,
I just want
Kwame
to make
Brown
sure that
ain't
put
home.
That in perspective.
Kwame Brown ain't home.
Well,
I ain't talking about nothing until Kwame get home. That's how I feel about it. I want Kwame home.
Well, hey,
and the car should be home too.
From Detroit, can we get Kwame Kilpatrick from Detroit to come home, because he did less than Brovovich in Chicago?
Yeah,
but no,
Brovovich. Yeah,
we didn't get Kwame, right? We got
we ain't get Kwame.
But again, hey, but to be honest, Kwame was responsible for his sister's death in Detroit. So just because he's black, that don't necessarily mean that I'm championing him either. That brother needed
not be not at all.
Now,
not
it,
at all. But Kwame also,
yes,
Kwame also was a champion for black businesses in Detroit. That's why I want Kwame.
He killed the sister. He killed the sister.
Okay.
He killed the sister. There is no quarter asked or given to any brother that has a sister murdered, a child without the mother. So I could give a gnat buttocks on the other good things he did. Hitler did good things. Nixon did good things. There's a lot of, and we got to get, look, brother,
don't
let me just put it down to you right here.
Don't talk about Tricky Dicky.
Out of our mind. Yeah, Tricky Dicky. Hey, Slick Willie, they all did something good, but they did a whole lot to hurt us, too. So let's not elevate any of them on a pedestal. The brother got a sister killed in the mayor's mansion at a party and then got his chief of police to cover it up. That's all documented. So let's not elevate this dude to some position that he does not deserve. If we want to talk about the disparities in sentencing, yes, that is real. But I'm not going to champion him for that. There's plenty of other people out there that could be championing this.
All right, then give me the cause.
That I know.
Give me the cause. I'll give you Kwame. What's give me Cosby.
Bullshit.
Bill Cosby should be home. There's no reason that old dude should not be home. Bill Cosby need to be home.
He'll be coming home. Bill's coming home.
Hey, Bill's Lee, coming home. Let's get back to the superintendent, though. Let's get back to the superintendent because, you know, we get so focused on some of, again, these aside issues. And it takes us off from the target that's downrange that's actually shooting at us. Now, that superintendent and his wife, because it was the superintendent's wife's post that the superintendent backed up in Tracy, if I understand what actually happened. And when he drew that picture holding a machine gun and talking about, you know, he's ready. We talked about the Boogaloo Boys on this show, and the Boogaloo Boys have been the ones proven by even the Cheeto Man's Department of Justice, that they are responsible for infiltrating not only our protests, but also government entities. We have a person running for school board here that is a white supremacist, and it's all over a Facebook page, just like on the superintendent's wife's Facebook page and on his Facebook page. These things happen all too often. Because we, and I'm not saying that's the case in Tracy because I don't know much about it, but because we're not focused on what we should be focused on. You may not be able to get rid of that superintendent right now. I don't know. But you can start planning on what you want the next superintendent to be. Or you can plan that we're going to suck up that salary because it is of enough value to us to rise up and get rid of a known threat to us. So that we could bring somebody else in and start the work on planning to get somebody better. That's the type of things that we have to do to prevent ourselves from taking too many of these side roads and we still being shot at from the real enemy downrange.
And we're going to put into contracts moving forward that there has to be a behavioral clause or a what do they do for the sports players? They conduct clause. There it is, a conduct clause. And if you do some shit like this, then your ass get fired and we get to keep your money. So at least that will most folks, if they ain't right, they at least will act right because you know we real good actors in this country. Those who are truly lost. Will do whatever the hell they do because that's just what they do, and they don't care. Go ahead, bro.
So I do want to put out a suggestion to your cousin in Tracy in California, and this is something that I have found in my own Facebook page. I have found out, you know, we talk about 6 degrees of separation. Usually it's less on social media. I wouldn't stop at just the superintendent and his wife. What I would do if I was one of the folks living there is the same thing I do here. I would start clicking on the links of some of those people who were showing support for his and her comments and find out who they are because this might just be the tip of the iceberg. They may have infiltrators, provocateurs throughout. As a matter of fact, statistics say that they do. So if you want to really pull the covers off of this thing, as Rossi says, with COVID-19, follow some of those links or some of those supporters, and you may find out that it might be an assemblyman that's involved. It might be a judge, maybe doctors, maybe owners of businesses. That's how you really get these people because what happens is if you get one, if you don't have a plan to replace them with one of your own, there is already one of their own, like a shark's tooth, ready to slip back in that position, and we all go home saying we did something, but nah, they're playing chess, meaning many moves ahead, as Brother Barry says, and we're playing checkers on this right now that's in front of us. We have to have to defeat the system by learning the system, and there has not been a system on the planet that black people have not been able to dominate once we have set ourselves to it and removed the barriers to it. Politics is no different.
But they keep changing the game. They keep changing the rules. Every time you show up and you're ready to knock them out the box, they're like, oh, no, you can't wear those kind of shoes. You got to wear Slip Earls. You wear Stacey Adams. No, you can't wear Stacey Adams in here. You need London Fog. They always changing the rules on you. Well, I don't know what's going on.
But cause you want to say anything before you go? Because I didn't expect to keep you this long, but I did want to slide you in. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I said a couple minutes, and we took a hell of a lot more than a couple minutes. I'm sorry. I lied. My bad.
Anything you want to add before you bungee? Or are you good?
I'm good.
Okay, perfect. All right, so speaking to what you said, Rodney, about the other folks in the links, we've had a uproar here locally in Baltimore. Cat owns a crab house now. If you know anything about your statehood, the state of Maryland is known for its crab cakes.
Yep.
And blue crab in general. So, you know, you hitting folk in their heart when you start talking about a owner of a crab house. You know what I'm saying? But this joker goes and posts some very insensitive comments on social media. They were found. He was put on blast, and this mug wound up discounting his crabs to $1 a piece. $1. Right, just to try to get some money in his business. Because not only did the call go out to not shop there, the call also went out to protest in front of his business. So, you know, folk were there with camera, ready to take your picture and post your ass on social media if you came in and out that mug, you know what I'm saying, buying anything. He couldn't catch a cold for over a week, and he's still ducking and dodging. But then there was another restaurant in the area. Two families walked in. White family walked in first with their kids, and they were being seated. Black family walks in a couple minutes later, and I say a couple minutes later because the other family was being seated and the black family was recording the other family. Well, the black family was stopped at the door saying that their son didn't meet the dress code. The son was wearing shorts and something else. Well, the white family, their right. son was wearing shorts and sneakers. So,
right.
Like, yo, what do you mean? So now this wasn't a one-off. This wasn't a single restaurant. This is actually a restaurant group in the area, and that restaurant group now is under attack from folks locally because that's just not the kind of business that we want around here, around these parts. So these social media attacks are actually having effect. Some folks are actually, you know, losing out big time because of these blasts. My concern, because Rashi hinted to this earlier, how long will we be able to do it? You know, right now folks are able to do it because a lot of folks, not everybody, but a lot of folks are still sitting at home, furloughed or unemployed for whatever reasons, be it they fired or just couldn't get a job, continue to not get a job. What's going to happen when the economy opens back up? And I think that 45 felt that something like this could happen, which is one of the reasons that such a huge push has been put on states to reopen. But even that now is backfiring. You know, we had more reported cases in a day's time 2 days ago than we had ever. You know, I mean, folks, young folks, old folks, everybody getting sick right about now. And it tends to be concentrated in areas that, number one, have Republican governors,
number two opened up real fucking soon. Texas, Florida, didn't have huge or very strong mask rules, so on and so forth. You know, again, in conversation the other day, we were talking about the wearing of the mask and how folks are pushing back on that. It's like, well, you know, you can wear your mask at your Klan meeting, but you can't wear your mask in the Walmart. I don't understand that. But, you know, that's how it be sometimes. You can wear a mask for Halloween, but you can't wear a mask to run to the gas station. I don't get that. You can wear a mask to a masquerade ball all night long, and there's no issue, but you can't wear a mask if you're going to dart in and out bodega. But, again, I don't get these things. But this pushback on the supposed limiting of our freedom, our guaranteed freedom, is literally killing us. It's literally killing us. And do you think it's going to be better for us to open, close, and reopen, close, or just stay closed until we truly have this thing under control as best we can, and then open back up? Rodney, I want to start with you.
Well, brother, well, a couple of things. To answer your question, we have a history to guide us on what works and what doesn't work, and we have recent history, right? And B, know that this virus is not going to disappear in the summer because it's hot. Typically, that's what happens with these types of viruses. But it's not happening now because of the way that we have handled it. And this is not your regular flu. As a matter of fact, it's not a flu at all. So, you know, we have to put the facts in the proper slots. So we know from Korea, from Italy, from other places in recent history, that if you do a total lockdown, you give it about 6 weeks, and you can start to slowly open up as long as you have provisions for the safety measures necessary, the basic things. You hit the nail on the head, Lee, when you said you could wear the mask when you go to your Klan meeting, your masquerade ball. So those are all straw man arguments. And there was set up guy acting as president that's sitting in the White House. Those were all dog whistle signs for his people to come out. And, you know, you keep hearing me mention Boogaloo Boys, because that is a real threat. And oftentimes we know, again, from FBI reports, that those are the people that are leading many of these types of actions, including the anti-mask wearing. Did you all know that they have a plan? And this is, you can go look it up on Google, that these provocateurs, white supremacists, to be specific, said that they want to go into crowds of black people, and they don't need guns. All they have to do is just breathe on them, because they know that we're more susceptible to the virus, we're more likely to be hospitalized, we're more likely to die. They're trying to kill us. Just like that superintendent talked about his gun. One of the common threads in almost all of these posts is they all talk about how long they've been waiting for this opportunity, how they've been planning to do it. You know, you're talking about Tracy, Lee. There was a security forces airman that just got charged with murdering two people, and he's active duty military. How is he germane to this discussion?
He's a
Boogaloo boy. Right. This thing is pervasive throughout this country. That's why I say we have to maintain focus, because when they say they've been planning for years, try to go to a gun store and buy a gun and get some, even just to get some ammo. And it's very difficult to do because they stocked up early. I know you all had to see the pictures. I even posted some of the stores around here where the line would be around the corner. Wouldn't be a black face to be found. Now, we're starting to get them now, but we're getting the crumbs that's left. They got plenty of them. So this is a real and present danger, not only to black people, because to me that's first and foremost, right? But secondary, it's a real and present danger to the security of this country. So we need to all keep our head on the swivel. Yes, we do need white allies. I will not move from that. But we need to be very purposeful in how we do things. And Dr. King, when he put together protests, guess where the white people were? The white people were in front.
Fine.
That was a strategy that he could keep his eye on them, right? And they would be the first ones usually to get beat. You could not question their allyship when somebody's willing to walk in front of the bullet and to take that billy club upside the dome. So, yes, brother, these things are real. We just have to get our focus. We have to be organized. We have to plan, because they're planning and organizing. And that situation back in your area, they need to shut that restaurant chain down. They need to shut it down. And when we do go back to work, we know black people are going to be the last ones to get rehired. So we still have plenty of time to do our whatever social protesting and organizing. This is when we need to be on it and not get off of it. And that restaurant chain needs to be shut down, period. A black company, I'm sure, can produce just as good a crab cakes or whatever it is that they do. It is not just that one employee. It has been a culture in businesses that have festered and that have metastasized. Shut them down. Send a strong message that we, the black people of America, the new Wakanda tribe in America, we aren't taking this anymore, and we're going to shut you down and then be done with it. My final point on that, Lee, is a white woman came to me and she says, Rodney, I'm trying to understand black people. I says, what do you mean? She says, if things happen to me, there's a white woman speaking. She said, if things happen to me that happened to you all, I would be killing up a bunch of people or sure enough try it. She said, you all are too nice. She said, that's your problem. She said, you actually need some of us amongst you to show you how to deal with some of the issues and then be done with it. Because you all get people in the chokehold, and then you let them go and forgive them. He says, no, when people do you wrong, you need to just get rid of them, period. And this is metaphorically speaking here. He said, don't give them a second chance. Don't let them up. You got them down. You make sure they don't get back up. With some of these issues with these businesses and superintendents and politicians, et cetera, we keep letting them get back up and they keep hurting us. Now we need to put them down.
Saying to you directly, go back a little bit. Go ahead. Then I'll jump in. Go ahead, bro.
I wanted to say Rodney is right. Minnesota is I think we have three of the largest ammunition manufacturers in the world right here in our state. Even with that being said, our gun stores have run out of ammo. Even with that being said, they now are making people go and schedule appointments, not wait in line because the lines were so long and they were up to 3 hours long for the sheriff department to issue out a conceal and carry license because so many people are going to get them. What I think that, you know, for me, with everything I heard as far as that business, black folks, we can always do better with our own businesses anyway. My main point about George Floyd being murdered was that if it was a black corner store that he was going to instead of the Arab corner store that's been taking advantage of our community for 30-plus years, he wouldn't have been dead. They wouldn't have called over a $20 bill that turned out to actually be a real $20 bill, right? And that same corner store is selling T-shirts with brother's face on it right now today. Now, just imagine that. I would always say, you know, as far as us as a people, it goes back to what I was saying with Sister Rashi, we just got to treat each other better. I think that's what it always boils down to, us treating each other better, us loving each other better, and then us protecting each other more. The other groups, we can talk about allies all day long, but your allies are only going to treat you how you treat yourselves. When people can see the vision, they come in and they divide you. We have to seal the division up amongst ourselves, and we have to be a lot more solid. I appreciate you guys for doing this show. To your cousin out there in California, he said everything that I was saying as far as the school. I think that, you know, with charter schools and public schools, you're going to always have, you know, the system is racist. So you're going to always have racist people in charge of these systems. I don't care how much they sit on your couch and tell you they love your children. They know what to say to get that black dollar. We have to be smart enough and we have to be savvy enough to create our own. The time is now. This is what we've been exposed to. We have nobody but ourselves. And even the people that we have that we consider our allies, there's no permanent friend and there's no permanent allies. There's just permanent issues, and we have to stick to that. But, hey, man, I love y'all, brothers, man. And Sister Rashi, I love you too. But I appreciate what you do, Brother Lee. I apologize for the days that I say I'm going to come on and something else pulls me elsewhere. But I'm glad you guys did this today.
Nah, brother, you know, it's never a problem. You know what I'm saying? And we appreciate you whenever you can jump in. But I wanted to say, and to your point, bro, so I went into Dick's Sporting Goods the other day. You know, I had a hard time, so I had to go to Dick's. And nobody got that but me, right? Okay, so there were four guns left in the store. That was it. And there was a greener that I actually salivated over because I've always wanted a greener. But I didn't get it. But that was it. Very few, very little ammo. All the handgun ammo was gone. It was more of the rifle ammo that was in the store. Walmart's the same way. You know, they stopped selling handgun ammo some time ago. But they have very little rifle ammo left at this point as well. And, you know, Rodney, you and I have been talking about this offline, online, forever. You know, we as a people need to get more comfortable with guns. We have to get more comfortable with having guns around us, get more comfortable and familiar with the utilization of the gun. You know, it's just a tool. That's all it is. It's one tool in your toolbox. That doesn't mean you have to use it. Doesn't mean you have to pull it. Somebody please record this segment that I just said and play it for every police officer that's around black folks in this country. But that doesn't mean that you have to use it. That doesn't mean you have to pull it. It's a tool. And if you get familiar with it, as you should, especially if you're a homeowner, man, I'd never understand that. If you are a homeowner, you should at least have a shotgun in your home. At least a shotgun in your home. Bare bones minimum. But to each their own. But, yeah, man, it's not something we need to run away from. It's not something we need to shy away from. It's not something that is going to be the death of us all, you know. Not being prepared in this actuality with a weapon will actually be the death of us all versus, you know, being prepared and having a weapon. At least you have a fighting chance, literally and figuratively, to come up as being alive. Look, again, this was not a balls to the walls. We had segment here, segment there, guest there. There was just some very important things that we needed to say and we needed to get out there. Rodney, you have anything else to add?
Yeah, exactly. I want to remind people about what happened in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Okay.
Police officers there, three of them were fired.
Three of them recorded.
And I think we need to be careful when they just fired him, right? Now, the chief of police, I think that's his title. I think he's interim. His brother, New Hanover County. Wilmington, North Carolina is the closest city to my family's ancestral home in the South. That's the closest one. Now, where we're from, it don't even I don't even think it qualifies as a village. It's so small. But that's the closest city to us. And what the lead guy who got fired, he said the same thing that we've been hearing today. We've been preparing. We've been waiting for this. We're going to go out and slaughter those ends. In the research that I've done and some other things that I'm working on, there's a common theme, common word usage that is used, and it tends to recruit more people to their side. We have to be aware of this in every facet of life that we're in now, because they are in every facet of life. Police officers are extremely troubling because we see, or let me take that back, we've seen these abuses for years. It is white people now whose eyes are beginning to open, they're cracked,
and they're starting to receive these images as we have been receiving it. And we need to nurture them in opening their eyes, because ultimately they're the ones that sit at the levers of power. And in order to make some of these changes that we're going to need, we are going to need them. I get a bunch of phone calls after I do my Wednesday reading club before the Mayflower from white people, more so from white people who say, Rodney, I just didn't know. And when I push them a little bit, they'll say, well, yeah, I seen it, but, you know, I made this excuse, or I just, you know, I thought it was this talking point or whatever. I've even had some Trump troopers call me up and say, Rodney, I voted for him. And they even outlined the reasons, but they said the things that I'm seeing now, I just didn't see. And what they're really saying is they didn't comprehend. So those three cops were talking about insurrection. They were not talking about patriotic Americans' Constitution, Declaration of Independence. What they were talking about is killing other Americans and banding together to overthrow this country on the federal level, to overthrow states and municipalities. The same thing that those three guys who got arrested here were talking about. The same thing that the security forces airmen from Travis Air Force Base, which just happens to be where my son is stationed. So they are all over. I was talking to a young lady, and she says she lives up in that area. And she says, Rodney, isn't it just in the South? I said, no, that's just what they want you to think. And this is a white woman. I said, this is all over. So what she said was, Rodney, I need some books because I need to learn this. So my point here is that this revolution, as some people call it, this revolt, is opening people's eyes. And now we need to, I believe, we need to start focusing it in a little bit on the areas that we know we have an opportunity to affect change, and then start planning for other areas that may take a little while for that change to take place. What Brother Barry did up in Minneapolis with the other fellas and maybe the sisters too, I heard him mention brothers, is when they said that they're going to get together and walk the streets and patrol their own areas, that's a powerful thing. That goes back to the Deacons of Defense and others, because he's absolutely right. Again, we know from the Cheeto Man's own DOJ that it is white supremacists and provocateurs every time that have been arrested doing a lot of this looting, and especially create this arson and destroying our community. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't sometimes join in under the mob mentality, but they lead us there. And so what I would encourage all of my protesters out there, all of you who are organizing protests, one of the things you can do is make sure you have people set up to always be on the lookout for provocateurs and follow Dr. King's motto. You my ally, I want you. I love having you here. When we go marching, you're going to be right here in front, right here in front. That way you can keep an eye on them, and if you need to extricate them out, you can do it quickly. And if they're not willing to get in front, well, tell them you're not willing to have them apart. And it's really that simple. And if you even have to make a deal with the cops, hey, when we see somebody that's doing something wrong, give us an opportunity, and we will do like Starlog 17. We will kick the dude out and close the door, and you can have him. That's, you know, there's strategies that are tried, proven, they're true, that we can use to protect ourselves. I encourage more people. Like on the third Saturday, we go into the community at the Dr. King statue here, and then we fan out from there. There are things that we can do within ourselves to help ourselves, and the sooner we start doing it, the better off we're ultimately going to be. But please strategize and do not allow people to take your eyes off of the target downrange, because that's the bullets that are going to kill you. So, Lee, I appreciate you doing the show. Sister Rashi, please forgive me for not mentioning you at first, because you provide a very valuable service in this show in keeping Brother Lee and me straight when he allows me on the show. So, hey, Brother Barry, for you, man, you know, keep your eyes open, but keep your head down, because, you know, eventually they're going to come after brothers like you. And you mentioned earlier, we got to be willing to sacrifice. When you do this work and you're serious about this work, you got to know that your life no longer belongs to you. Your life belongs to the cause. And
right on.
when you put yourself in that situation, you know, in the African tradition, that means nobody can stop us, because we will go unto our death. We cannot be bought off, right? You're not going to give us a little trinket, right? You're not going to give us a crab cake at $1. Nope. This is our mission.
Nope.
This is where we're going, right? Don't allow ourselves to be bought off, because ever since the Maroon colonies, that's how they've done us. When we've set up our own stuff and been successful, there's always that one. One of the things that Lee said he wanted to talk about today is, what do you do when people put reckless stuff into social media? In other words, it's stuff that's not true, and especially when your own does the CO thing on you. And maybe we'll have that discussion the next time, because I do think that that's an important topic. You cannot appease these people. It didn't work for Neville Chamberlain in 1920s and then 30s Germany, because it became Nazi Germany. We cannot appease these people. I said it before, and I'll leave it on this. Ask no quarter and give none.
What's up? Brother Barry, you got anything to add?
Man,
no events coming up.
I mean, you know, we have the reparations rally that we're doing here on St. Paul at the state capitol. Part of what we're saying is that if we had the disparities of race, we wouldn't have to deal with inefficient policing to begin with. If we owned the corner stores, then we wouldn't have to deal with cops being called to the corner stores. If we owned the homes in our community, if we were just given a chance to not be locked out of home ownership and generational wealth being passed on, which was set up by systematic design, we would be in a better place. We wouldn't be having to march and rally for all of these people. So, you know, to Brother Rodney's point, you know, it's we got to do what we got to do for ourselves. We got to stand up for ourselves, but we also got to demand it, because we are taxpayers. And Minnesota itself was a very big land trust state, which means that a lot of white homeowners who passed their homes on to later generations, they got it from government programs. The University of Minnesota is a land trust college, meaning that if you live in this state, you're really supposed to be able to go to the school for almost free. You're supposed to, right? But that's not happening with our children. I got a nephew who has a 4.3 GPA, and his parents almost have to pay $24,000 a year for him to go to the University of Minnesota, even though he graduated from school here. This is the kind of stuff that we're talking about. You know, we have to stand up for ourselves. So on July 3rd, from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., we'll be at the state capitol. We'll be talking from everything from violence to housing to medical to education, and demanding from the state. We have a bill in place as well, Brother Rodney, Brother Lee, Sister Raji. We have a bill in place that is asking for the state of Minnesota to give us $10 billion over the next 10 years that will be put into an endowment, which $1 billion per year, based off its gaining interest per year, will be going to build institutions, housing, and neighborhoods for African Americans or ADOS folk.
All right, well, this is what I have. And thank you both for what you had to say. In 2020, the battle still continues. We would like to not be here, however we are. So let's stay ready so we don't have to get ready. That encompasses doing the work on the ground, but that encompasses also doing the work at home. You know, we have to form unions and keep those unions together. We have to educate ourselves, because it is heir apparent that the public and or private education system is not designed to educate ourselves about ourselves. Hence, Ronnie Shameless plug about his book club, his reading club on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Yo, what's the third? The question is, what's the third book in your library? I mean, what's the seventh book in your library? Have you read it? When was the last time you read anything? When was the last time you shared a book with somebody? And 9 times out of 10, you ain't getting it back. But still, you know, at least you had something to share. And hopefully whomever you shared it with actually read it, got what they needed from it, and then they passed the same book on. You know, we are in a pickle. But there is hope. There is hope. Truly is. Hopefully, sooner rather than later, Biden will get off his butt, select a running mate, and we'll find out what that ticket looks like. And then we can really get into the fisticuffs surrounding our next president. But until then, and through then, as Rodney said, we have to be actionable within ourselves. We have to do everything we possibly can to align ourselves and put ourselves in position to be successful when the follow-on equipment, people, or whatever show up. You know what I'm saying? But look, y'all, we appreciate the time. For those listening live or later, always thanks to Rashi, thanks to Brother Barry, thanks to Rodney. Thanks to my cuz, JV, love you, family. You all be good. You all be safe. Like I said, I'm working off an hour and a half of sleep, man. I need a damn nap. Y'all be good. See you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.